We're going to be looking at money today. We're going to be looking at where you put your treasures. And that's an important thing. The passage I read in your hearing a while ago is a part of that Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking to the disciples there and helping them and all the people to understand some important lessons. And so here he gives this caveat, if you please, in here about where your treasure is. Where's the greatest thing that you have? Where is it at? Where is it? What's the greatest treasure that you have? Now, mine's sitting down here, but that's not the greatest treasure. The Lord is. But she ranks in there about second. And that's not bad. Where's your greatest treasure at? Where's your heart? What do you think about? What do you consider about? Paul talking to Timothy, a young preacher, trying to help him to understand as he was establishing congregations and helping people to grow in the faith. Listen to the words he said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9. He said, "But those who desire to be rich in this world's goods fall into many temptations and snares." Now, if you desire to be rich, there's going to be temptations and there are going to be snares within that. And then he goes on to say in this, "into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." He's saying here, you can seek after riches if you want to. But please understand, if you're only seeking after riches and you forget about God, it's going to create some problems in your life. And you say, oh, that's great. You look at television, you see all these shows on there. Have you seen the one where they've got the million-dollar room? Well, these couples, people, whoever they are, spend $1 million in one room. Now, just think about that. I mean, my house, they wouldn't even come into my house. But $1 million, and you see here they're going to pay $100,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 or $1 million for this small little apartment in New York. And they put all that on television, and you see all that, and it may cause you to think, you know, I wouldn't mind having all that. I wouldn't mind doing that. Have you noticed that these people that win all these houses that they have a house out in Colorado, and if you get the right thing and you put in enough of the things, you'll get you might win that house. Several of those people that have won those houses, they've lost them because they couldn't even pay the taxes on them. They couldn't afford the house. We look at all these things, and it seems today in our society more opulence is being talked about, what people have and all the great things that they have, and we're seeing all this, and we're seeing, you know, here's ball players that they're getting $100 million a year, and they're driving around cars that cost $300,000 or $400,000, and saw a fellow the other day had a car that was over $1 million. And I'm thinking, what happens when you hit a speed bump and something like that? What happens when you park it somewhere and somebody dings it with a door? You say those people have people to park their car. They don't ding them. Where's their treasures at? We're taught in this world to honor people who have more things and honor people who have the greatest things in this world. And if they have those things and they have all the opulence there, then that means that they're smarter than you are. Let me tell you something. That does not necessarily mean they're smarter than you are. It may mean that they're good at playing ball, good at making money. Maybe that they're just fortunate that they were born into the family that they were born in. But you see, what we've got to do is to understand our treasures needs to be some other place besides in this old world that we live in. Because the treasures in this life are going to be given away. Somebody else is going to own them. Somebody else is going to have them. You could lose it. I got a thing the other day, and all this money I've been storing up to retire, it ain't there. Have you seen the last thing that you had coming about the stocks and stuff that you have? It's not worth as much, is it? And you're going, oh no, what are we going to do? Can I retire? Am I going to have to work a little longer to do that? Let me tell you something, nothing wrong with thinking about that. Nothing wrong with preparing for the future and getting ready for the future and looking for those things. But what we need to do is to remember there's something greater than this old world that we live in. There's a place that of honor and glory and praise that doesn't have a dollar involved in it. And that is that of God. We've got to be those people that we recognize the important things. Paul told Timothy, warn people that are trying to be rich in this world and have the things of this world, because those things are going to bring on them hurtful lust. Now, some of you are sitting here today saying, bring on the hurtful things. I really want them. We don't realize what it cost to have riches. We don't realize the price. Because you see, with riches, we learn to depend on our riches and not upon God. We've got to learn to depend upon God and to trust in God. And it's going to lead many people astray and has led many people astray. It's led many people away from God and away from the church. Now, in Matthew 19, starting in verse 16, it talks about here a rich young man who came to Jesus. He came to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell me, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you need to do this. You need to honor your father and mother. You need to obey the commandments. And the young man said, I'm doing all those. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Here was a young man that was trying to follow the will of God. He said, there's one thing that you lack. You take all you have. And evidently he must have had a lot. You take all you have and you sell it and you give what you have to the poor. And then you come and follow me. The 13th disciple. What did the little young man do? He was sad. And he turned and he walked away. Why did he walk away? Jesus, I can obey those commands. I can do all those things. But when you start talking about my money, you're talking about something else. When you start talking about my riches and giving that away, Lord, you know, have you thought now, if I give all my money away, what am I going to do for food? Now, see these clothes I've got, Lord? This is an expensive outfit. How am I going to buy something? What am I going to do? What the young man didn't understand was we need to trust in the Lord. We need to depend upon the Lord. Because what we have, all these things that we have, they can disappear in a moment. Stock market fall apart. Or just lose it all. Somebody come in and they've got an investment for you that's great, it's going to pay you great dividends, and you put all your money into it, and next week you can't find them and you can't find your money. What do you do then? What do you do if you don't have all those riches? What do you do if you don't have all that money? Who do you depend on then? Well, we have set our society up to say, depend on the government. And we're finding out the government's not going to be there. What do you depend on then? What do you trust in then? Well, if you're young, you say, listen, I'll depend on this arm. I'm strong. I can do it. What if you're older? Hey, I've been thinking about a sermon. How easy is it to be old? Is it? I'll go ahead and answer it. Is it easy to be old? Is it easy to get old? No, it's not. Everybody talked about the golden years. I don't know what happened to them. But you see, we've got to learn not to depend upon the riches of this world. We've got to learn to depend upon God. And we're sitting in church today and you're saying, well, Charles, you're sitting here talking to people that we depend on God. Oh, do we? Do we really trust in God? Are we more concerned with wealth and the things of this world than we are with God and following God's will, following what God would have us to do? This young man came. Was he a religious man? Oh, yes, he was. Did he do things to serve God? Yes, he did. But his money was there, and it stood in the way between him and God. He couldn't see God for the money he had. He couldn't really get a good picture of God. He trusted in his riches and not in God. What if today the preacher, I'm not saying this preacher, okay? But what if today a preacher said, I want you to give all your money to the poor? and go and follow God, what would you do? New preacher, get rid of that nut. Look what he asked. Look at what Jesus asked of this young man. Give it all up. Sacrifice it. Jesus in Matthew 19 also talked there about a camel and a needle. And you all know the story. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go into heaven. Now, people have tried to explain that away. They have said there was a gate there in the city that camels had to get down on their knees and walk through that gate. So you got to get down on your knees. I think they've got the right purpose, but that's a wrong thing. Let me tell you something. If you depend on your riches, you can't get into heaven. There's no way possible. Let's just say it like the Lord said it. Take a camel and you get his tail, and you got to get it wet, and you get it wet a little bit, and you're trying to put that through the eye of a needle. And if you're like me, you can't see well enough to even get one of those hairs through there, much less the whole camel. It won't work. You depend on your riches. You trust in your riches, and I guarantee you, you can't get into heaven. You've got to learn to depend upon God. Now, when I talk about trusting your riches, you're saying, well, I can take a nap, man. He's not talking about me. I don't have that much. Let me tell you something. You can be just as covetous over a dollar as you can over $1 million. You can be covetous over what little you have and let that get in the way of you and God if you're not careful. Jesus said, you take that camel and you put him through that eye of the needle. And the disciples are looking, has he lost his mind? You can't do that. He said, no. And you cannot. You cannot. There is no way possible for you to go to heaven if you're going to depend on your riches. All right, we've got to put our treasures in another place. We've got to put our treasures in a place. We need to lay our treasures up where they're going to be secure. Now, at this time, people dealt with clothing. And if you had clothing, that meant you were rich. They could look at your clothes and tell whether you were rich or poor. That was a commodity that they used that day. It's kind of like our money at that time. Or you could take the money that you had, the coins that you had, and some of those were made out of coins that would rust. Listen to what he said. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, he said, look at this. Why do you need to put your treasures in heaven? Why can't you just have your treasures on this earth? Why can't you just have it all now? And in heaven, that's later. He said, listen, be careful because moth and rust can come in and destroy what you have. Oh, you've got those beautiful garments, but those little old moths come in and just eat holes in them. Now, we don't think about that much anymore. But used to years ago, people would go, they might have one good suit, a young lady might have one good dress, and she had that hanging in a chiffon robe somewhere in that house. And she goes to get it, and there's a little hole right here. And the man's going to get it, and he's got a place up here where a little old moth is eating a hole through it. You gain all this. You put it away, you hide it away. I may have told you years ago we were building the building at Florence Boulevard that they have now. We were selling bonds to people. I went into some little lady's house. They found out, checked out, saw that this was okay, and they said, okay, we'll take these bonds. We'll come over here tomorrow, and we'll count the money out. I went over there. I've heard about stinking money, but that money stank. These ladies got caught in the Depression years ago, and they had a safe in their house, and they just put money in it. Gold certificates, silver certificates, they had all this stuff, all this money. It smelled so bad. I said, ladies, you need to put that in the bank. Oh, no, we put it in the bank years ago and lost it. We're not losing it anymore. I said, but what if somebody finds out that you've got that here? I said, you've told me. I said, I'm not telling anybody. Well, I'm telling y'all now, ain't I? But they're probably already dead, so don't worry about it. But what if somebody finds out about that? What's going to happen? Somebody's going to come in, and they're going to steal it. What happens then? it's gone. What if your wealth, what if the things that you think are the most precious, the most important in this life, what is that? Can moths eat it? Can rust do away with it? Can thieves break through and steal it? Let me tell you something. If they can do any of those three things to what you think is the most precious, then you've got the wrong thing in mind to be precious. It needs to be God. Nobody can take it away from you. We talk about losing your faith. You don't lose your faith. You give it away. You sell it. You don't lose it. It's not something that you look around one day and say, where's my faith at? You gave it up. You gave it away. We've got to be people who recognize the importance of serving God and doing God's will. And if the important things in your life can be destroyed because the stock market goes down, can be destroyed because a thief can break through and steal it, you've got the wrong kind of priorities in your life. Now, am I saying it's wrong to have money? No. Am I saying it's wrong to save money? No. It's not wrong to have those things, but you have those things and don't let them have you. Where's your greatest trust? If all these things were removed like Job had, everything was taken away from him. What did he say at the end? I don't care if he kills me. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what happens. I don't care if I lose everything I have. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do His will. Please don't think if you've got money today that I'm being critical of you. I'm not. At all. It's how you're using it. It's what you depend on. That's the important thing. It's what you trust in, and that's the important thing that we got to have. And you see, these things, the moth and rust, they can destroy. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter, the first chapter. In 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've got a hope that is based upon Jesus Christ and what He did, what He sacrificed, sacrificed His life for us, that we could be those people that are forgiven of our sin. He sacrificed, He did all that. What for? For an inheritance, incorruptible. That means it can't be destroyed. Moss can't eat it. Rust can't destroy it. Incorruptible and undefiled. It can't be made dirty and nasty to where we say we don't want it anymore. That's not what it's going to be. And that does not fade away. Reserved. Now this is what I want you to see. If we put our trust in God, if we put our faith in God, if we put our dependence upon God, I don't care if you have money, if you don't have money, but if you put your faith, your trust in God, look at what happens to it. It is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Now, look at this. Nobody can take your faith away from you. Nobody can take your service for God away from you. Because that goes straight into heaven. It's like putting money in a bank. It's like putting securities away in a safety deposit box. And nobody can open it. Nobody can take it. Nobody can steal it. There's where the treasures need to be, because you see, nothing can happen to those things. Oh, your health can go, but you can still have your treasures in heaven. Your money can disappear, but you're still going to have your treasures in heaven. And like Job, your family can even go away, and you still have your treasures in heaven. That's the important thing. That's the thing that we need to recognize. And that's what he's saying. He's saying these things of your wealth, they are reserved for you. They are reserved for you because God has them, and He has them in heaven. Lay up in heaven these treasures. How do you do that? How do you lay these treasures up in heaven? What we've got to do is, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to become a child of God. We've got to become a Christian. You say, now what's that got to do with laying up your treasures? Let me tell you something. You give God the greatest thing you got, and that's your soul. You give Him the soul that you have. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, we need to be those people that we are joint heirs with Christ. That means that when the inheritance is given to Him, we get it too. We're treated just as though we are a child of God, because if we are a Christian, we are. Now just think about that. And nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take it and destroy it from you. You've got that. We've got to recognize how wonderful it is. We've got all those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Paul talked about in Ephesians, the first chapter, and all the spiritual blessings that are there for those people that are in Christ Jesus. We're reserved. We're saved. We're there. We don't have to worry about it. It's there for God, and God is going to keep that. Now, what we got to do is we've got to have a good eye. Now, in Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23, it talks there about that good eye looking at things. But what I want you to see is this. If you go over to Luke 12, you have a fellow there that had barns that were full. And he said to his soul, "Soul, take it easy. You've got everything you need." Let me ask you something. What did that guy see? What did he see? What good thing did he see? You know what he saw that was good? He saw barns that were stuff just coming out the top of them. He saw piles of stuff beside the barn because the barn wasn't big enough to get it all in it. He saw that. He saw retirement. He saw ease. He saw everything that was good and wonderful. You know what he didn't see? He didn't see God. He didn't look at God. He put his mind, his eyes, his treasure, all in what he could see on this world, and all of it was taken away. What did Jesus call him? What did he say he was? A fool. Why? Because he was rich? No. Because he had a good crop? No. Because he trusted in those things. He looked. He didn't see the good. He saw the goods. He didn't see the God. He saw the goods. And he trusted and depended on those things. And those things were not the most important thing. Because you see, they could be taken away. Jesus said, "You're a fool, because tonight your soul is going to be required of you. It's going to be required of you." What's going to happen then? It doesn't make any difference if your barns are full, if your bank account's full. It doesn't make any difference how much you have. It's all left behind. It's all left behind. There's nothing there. We've got to look and take up our, get the right kind of master and have the right master. We need to lay our treasures up in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal. We need to put those things and have God as our master. God is the one that we trust in. The Bible talks about we have to decide who's going to be our master. Mammon, money, or God. He said you can't have two. God is a jealous God. We go back to Exodus there, one of those Ten Commandments. You will not have another God above me. I'm the only one. He even says he's a jealous God. He just wants you, and he doesn't want you to want anybody else. You see, God made a choice. He chose us. He chose us to be His children. He chose us to be His people. He chose us to have forgiveness of sins. He's chosen to give all those things to us if we want those things. Now, you can turn them down if you want to. But you're turning down the greatest gift that it could ever be. Could you imagine turning down a gift of $1 million? If I did that, Linda would have a funeral the next day. She gets on to me if I don't use coupons right. We've got to trust in God. We've got to put our treasures in God. Please, don't think I'm saying it's wrong to have wealth. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong to be wealthy. But what you've got to do is to make sure that God is first in everything. And make sure you use your wealth to help other people. Saw a fellow the other day on television. I know I'm going over a little bit. But this fellow had a yacht. And the person that was interviewing him said, "How much did this cost?" He said, well, I'd really rather not say. And she said, oh, go ahead and tell us how much it cost. She said, I've heard it was over $100 million. And he embarrassingly said, well, I'd rather not say. Because, you see, we live in a world where people are starving, where children don't have homes, where other people are suffering. And he said, this seems like something that a person should not even have. The man still has a little bit of conscience. And he recognized this extravagance was just way beyond what needed to be. Jesus would say, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and follow me. If you want to keep your riches, keep it. But use it for God. And don't depend on it. Depend on God. Now today, we're going to sing an invitation song. I want you to think about this. Have you given to God everything you have? If you haven't, then you need to change your heart and your life. He's got to be first.